everyone. I'm George Brooks, and welcome to The Games Afoot, where gaming means business. This show is going to focus on many different aspects of the gaming industry, because as any gamer knows, there are any number of ways that entertainment can be found, either individually or in a group in the gaming world. Video games, card games, board games, pencil and paper, escape rooms, you name it, we'll try to cover it here on this show. So for the next half hour or so, we'll talk with someone who's turned their love of games into a profitable pastime, either as the proprietor of their own business or as an employee in the industry. Today's guest is Jesus Perez. I guess probably should change the tagline from where gaming means business to when gaming and business collide, because he works at Worlds Collide Esports Gaming Lounge, where the pros play, at 18110 Nordoff Street. That's 18110 Nordoff Street, Unit C in Northridge, California. It's right across the street from CSUN in the little Papa John's shopping center there. It's directly in the center in the bend. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Looking forward to this. Pretty cool.
Cool. So exactly what position do you hold at Worlds Collide?
At Worlds Collide, I am actually the manager there, and I'm also a pretty big competitor in the scene of the FGC, which is the fighting game. Sorry about that. In the fighting game community. So you'll pretty much see me there a lot of the days that we hold tournaments. Specifically, mostly you'll see me there for the new game that's really popular right now, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and for a lot of like the anime fighters like Guilty Gear and BlazBlue.
Okay. BlazBlue, yeah, that's one of the real popular ones right now. Mm-hmm. I've never played it, but I see it advertised a lot, especially when there are things for esports tournaments around the area.
Yeah.
So what are the hours that your business is open, just so that our listeners, if they're curious, they can go by and check it out?
So we're pretty much open almost every day except Mondays. Mondays we're closed.
Which works out well for me, because you're able to be here.
We're open from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m., except Sundays. Sundays we're open at 2 p.m., but we close at 12 a.m., so we do close a little bit earlier. But aside from that, yeah, almost every day, want to get some gaming on. We have tournaments almost every day, too. Specifically, if the listeners want to know, on Thursdays we have our anime fighters, which is Guilty Gear, BlazBlue, and Undernight. On Fridays, we have Street Fighter V. Saturdays, we have Dragon Ball every Saturday. But bi-weekly, we actually have also included Marvel Infinite and Pokken, which not a lot of people do around the area, but it's a pretty fun game. I definitely recommend you guys should look into it. And then Sundays, we have a pretty big tournament that's been growing. It's Smash Brothers Melee. Yeah, and then I forgot to mention Wednesdays is Smash 4.
Okay. So if they do decide to come there, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, these are college students, Pierce, CSUN, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. What's the rates, like, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah. No problem. Okay, so pretty much, you know, if you want to play on a regular day basis, it is $5 an hour. You do have, you know, we have on the PlayStations, and we have computers, we have Wii's, we use GameCubes, all that good stuff. And then a really good deal that we do have going on, since Tuesdays we don't have any tournaments whatsoever, we have a really special deal, which is pretty much $10. You pay $10, you can play there all day.
That's okay. That's a good deal. So why an esports lounge? Like, you are the manager there. Mm-hmm. But as you stated, you're also a competitor. You're pretty connected with that world. Mm-hmm. How did you convince the owner, mm-hmm. to go into business and create an esports lounge? Was it a void in the area that you noticed that there?
Yeah. Definitely. So pretty much there wasn't really that much convincing to do in the first place, because me and him, we go way back, you know, we met each other in high school and we became really, really good buddies since then. And we used to compete for League of Legends. We used to be in the high school Star League. And, you know, so esports, that was like pretty much our door opening to esports. It's specifically that one going into the computer games type of deal. And so then during that time also, there used to be another place called Ultimate Gaming Center in Panorama, where that's where a lot of the fighting games were ran and fighting game tournaments. And so then, you know, high school passes on and we used to talk about, like, it'd be cool since that place closed down, unfortunately. It'd be cool for another place like that in the valley to open up. Okay. So then, you know, a year or two passed by, we graduated high school, and we just, you know, he brought it up, and I'm just like, you know what, I'll hop on and I'll help you out. And that's pretty much it.
So, was it difficult to get started? I mean, I don't know, like, did you guys have to come up with a business plan, investors?
It's pretty much, yeah, it was a little bit difficult in a sense where, okay, how do we start? How do we get our name out there? You know? There hasn't been a center like that in maybe 2-3 years, because I believe Ultimate Gaming Center closed down in 2015. How do we get our name out there? And pretty much the way the world works now through social media and whatnot, it really wasn't that hard after a while. Once you get it down where it's like, okay, so, you know, I use these hashtags on Twitter, I promote here, I talk to some of the old buddies, you post on Reddit. Reddit was a really big one. And the community just starts building off of that. And that's pretty much it. Like, a lot of this revolves around community-wise. You get one person talking about it, it's going to spread out like wildfire.
It's interesting because I've noticed just since I started doing this show, because I'm a little older.
Mm-hmm.
I remember MySpace.
Yeah.
Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I have no clue what I'm doing with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed since I started doing this show and talking to people in the gaming community, regardless of what type of games they do, whether it's video games or role-playing games or what have you, a lot of them are like, oh, you should check out my Reddit. I'm like, I don't know what Reddit is.
Yeah, Reddit, pretty much the best way to explain it, I use it a bit, not a lot, but it's pretty much a place where you go on, you make a post about something, and the post can either go viral, they can downvote it, whatnot. It's really a place where you just go in, you make a post, like, oh, this happened, or I just made this play, or, you know, it really depends on what you're doing. It's like a place you just post whatever, and then people just comment on it, and it's, yeah.
So, as a gamer and a competitive gamer,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel about, like, Twitch TV and stuff like that?
Twitch is definitely one of the best ways to get your name out there, too. For whatever you do, you know, now that they're expanding it to, like, IRL, which is in real life streaming and, like, food streaming and whatnot, card games as well, it's definitely a really good platform, and it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
It's like, I find myself wishing that I had stuck with the gaming thing, because, I mean, like I said, I'm a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
I had an NES. I had a Genesis. And I had a PlayStation 2, and then Xbox came out, and
yeah,
that's pretty much where my focus went, because I have large hands, and they had the big controllers
when it first came out. Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, PlayStation kind of went to the wayside, and I was really into Halo, and I was actually really good, well, I thought I was really good until I actually met guys who were nationally ranked and got the floor mopped with me, but...
Yeah.
But seeing where that has gone now to where was, I think, the International, where they play, was it Defense of the Ancients 2?
And yeah.
It's like the largest.
Dota 2.
The largest prize pool in esports history.
It is a lot of money. It is a lot of money.
Was it like last year it was like $24 million or something?
Yep.
Like that? That's crazy that you can make $10 million to win a video game tournament.
Yeah, it's definitely grown a lot, especially here in the U.S. I know in South Korea it's been going around since maybe the 90s, you know, with StarCraft and whatnot. And over here, it just started growing, whether it was with League of Legends, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Dota 2, just from there, you know? And, like, that was just one side of the spectrum. Then you also have the fighting game community where they started growing out as well, too. So, yeah, definitely you can make a lot. It's just... You know, it seems like, hey, it's a lot of money, playing a video game, but there's definitely a lot of work to be done to in order to even achieve that.
To get to that level, yeah, that makes sense.
It is a lot of stress, a lot of work, a lot of dedication.
It's like I said, you know, I thought I was pretty good at Halo. My nickname amongst my group of friends was actually Click Clack because my finishing move was the melee. I'd run up on you shooting and then just and
work. Yeah.
But then I met some guys who actually were part of a nationally ranked clan, and it was
a big
horrendous
difference. Yeah,
I think the final score was 50-3, and I was happy that I had gotten two of those three kills.
Yeah,
it was ugly.
No, it's like you feel like that a lot of the times, you know, especially from personal experience. When I was getting into the fighting games, I would always beat my friends. I'd be like, man, I'm the best at this. I go join a tournament, I get destroyed. You know, it's because it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that go into each game. Each game has their own specialty and, like, what you have to study, what certain mechanics happen, and it's just a matter of going in there and just practicing it out.
Yeah, and I never really got into the fighting. I mean, I played Mortal Kombat, and I played Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
I believe it was when the first Marvel vs. Capcom came out.
One of the classics. I love that game.
And one of my good friends who plays all the fighting games. Like I said, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, the Dragon Ball Z, Budokai.
Yeah.
He plays all of those. He would literally, like, do this button combination of controller and set it down and walk away to go get a drink, and I'm in the middle of getting smashed with a 300-hit combo by the Incredible Hulk. Like, dude, you're not even touching the controller.
There's a lot. Yeah, it just, like I said, there's a lot of, you know, once you get the game down, you'd be amazed of the things you can do.
So, talking about Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
I noticed on your website, which for the listeners is worldscollidegaming.com, if you want to go check them out. It says, you know, I'm going to quote here. Worlds Collide Esports Gaming Lounge welcomes you to play all your favorite games in our new location just across from CSUN. We have PC gaming stations as well as new game consoles for you to enjoy. Challenge yourself to compete with the best players in the region. So if you're new or a professional player, you'll find Worlds Collide Esports Gaming Lounge is the best place to play to compete. You also offer drinks and snacks for purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you get a lot of crossover players, or are people pretty much, like I said, I love it. I still have I've got an Xbox One in every room of my house.
Oh, yeah.
Because I use it to stream television through now, too. Like, I got rid of cable because it was just so much easier. Well, my bedroom, I have a Fire Stick. But the living room, the other two bedrooms, they're Xboxes. Do you find that you get a lot of crossover players that, you know, or do if you play PC, you play PC. If you play PlayStation, that's what you play.
In all reality, it's really just PlayStation and PC, you know? Xbox, great console, but unfortunately not a lot of the games that are really played competitive, like, you know, majority of the time, are not on the Xbox console, you know?
I've noticed it, because even with the Madden Championship that they do every year, they play PlayStation, they don't play Xbox, so...
You know, and it's funny because, you know, before you know, PS4, Xbox One, a lot of the competitive games were played on the 360. That was the norm. And then the PlayStation 4 came out, and I really think, I'm not sure what happened there, but I think it's because Street Fighter V was announced to be PlayStation only. And so then from then, they ported over Street Fighter 4, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then they're just like, you know what, let's start making the crossover, you know?
Once they got the head start, it was just Xbox couldn't catch up.
Yeah.
Because for a good long while, PlayStation 4 was the faster console until they upgraded with the 1S and now the 1X. But I can imagine Sony's probably got something up their sleeve.
They're working on something. They're definitely working on something.
So you mentioned League of Legends.
Yeah.
You mentioned
Counter-Strike.
Was it BlazBlue?
BlazBlue, Dota 2.
I know that, like you said, Dota 2 is a really big game. They still have Call of Duty tournaments. Counter-Strike, you mentioned. Overwatch. Do you have a lot of, like, Overwatch players?
A lot of people come and play Overwatch. You know, it used to be quite a bit on console because it is on console and it is on PC. But a lot of people play it on PC. People come in. Right now, in reality, it's I would say for PC, it would be Overwatch. It'd be Fortnite. You know, there's PUBG and League of Legends. Those are the games taking over a lot of things right now.
Okay, so you said that, you know, it's mostly PC and PlayStation 4 that you get in there. Do you find that you have a wide variety of players that come in, or is it mostly... because you're right across the street from CSUN, so I'd imagine you get a few, you know, people from CSUN.
Yeah.
In that college age, or maybe even a little younger. I don't know if you guys have an age limit, because I know that, you know, some games are, you know,
restricted
for everyone, and then others are, you know, mature. But do you find that you get a diverse clientele, or is it pretty much within, you know, 15 to 25?
It would be pretty much from 15 to 25. You know, we do get some of the younger kids there, some of the older people, but no, it's mostly 90, I would say 92% of the time it's 15 to 25.
Okay. Video games constantly evolving, constantly changing, upgrading. Obviously, you have people that still like the old school games, which, you know, you just recently there was a business with stand-up arcade games that opened up not too far from you that caters to that crowd. Where do you see the competitive gaming world going? Because, like I said, League of Legends has been going on for a while. Dota 2 has been going on for a while. They still, like I said, they still have Call of Duty tournaments, Counter-Strike. But what games do you see right now that may be kind of under the radar that will probably blow up either this year or next year as far as competitive gaming goes?
Competitive gaming. To tell you the truth, I would say... for sure, already staying there, it's going to be League of Legends. It's going to be Dota 2. CSGO still there. Recently, there has been a big upbringing in Fortnite, right? Fortnite, Battlegrounds, you know, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I think those games are definitely going to be up there. I would say Fortnite a lot because really popular right now, or getting popular, is the Battle Royale games, you know, one against all or squad against a couple of other people and whatnot.
They refer to those as the, was it multiplayer online battle arena?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so you have those. I would say Fortnite's definitely getting up there. It's blowing up now. If not, it's probably just going to get bigger.
I see a lot, like, friends of mine that are on Twitter, talking about Fortnite. There's one particular friend, actually, he lives here in Woodland Hills. He always goes on Twitter and complains when the PlayStation Network goes out and he can't play Fortnite.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, PlayStation, what's going on with your network?
There's always something, you know? And I would say, you know, that's along the PC lines. On the PS4 lines, I would say, like, fighting game-wise, as far as I know, that's being played competitive. Dragon Ball is definitely, it's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's growing bigger, whether... it'd be because of the gameplay, in general, because it's Dragon Ball, you know, it has
huge following worldwide, yeah.
Worldwide, no matter what. It's definitely up there. I know Soul Calibur is coming out very soon. I think that game is going to be big.
Which one is that? Now? Like, what is that going to be? Like, Soul Calibur 7?
it's Soul Calibur 6. Soul Calibur 6,
okay.
Yeah, I know 5 didn't do so well. But, you know, I really, by the looks of the gameplay, I think it's coming back. I think it's going to definitely be pretty big. A lot of people are excited for it. And, you know, Street Fighter's still going to be up there and whatnot. And we'll just have to wait and see.
I know I was talking to someone just the other night, and they were telling me to look out for a game called Lawbreakers that's coming out. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's... it's being directed by the same guy who did, who worked on Unreal and Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not a competitive gamer, but I am kind of looking forward to that because I have all of the games of War 2, 3, 4, You know, the little game they had in between 3 and 4.
Judgment, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hear also, and you can tell me whether this is true or not, that competitive mobile gaming is looking to go like that.
Yeah.
Was it like Vainglory?
Vainglory. Vainglory, I believe. What's the other one? I forget the name of it. I think it's called Mobile Legends or something like that. Definitely Vainglory. There is a community. There is a scene. It's been going on for a while. It's not as big as other games, but it's there, you know? But I do see, I also see mobile gaming. I wouldn't be surprised if it got up there either.
Cool. Okay, so I guess one more question. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk. They just had a summit in October 2017. The International Olympic Committee got together to consider adding esports as an Olympic event.
Yes.
Possibly for 2020 at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Paris is really pushing for it in 2024 when they host the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But the IOC wants to restrict it to games that don't have violent content. And I don't know how, if you have a big competitive game world with stuff like, you know, League of Legends, where it says right in the name, Battle Arena.
Yeah.
How you're going to restrict the games to those with nonviolent content. What are your thoughts on that?
In all reality, I would say, I mean, I don't fully agree with that whatsoever, restricting to violent content. I mean, you know, one way or another, any of these games, there's going to be some sort of content where there's going to be either you're going to have to kill somebody or you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to, like, use guns, or you're going to have to something. There's going to be something.
I mean, even if it's like, like a role-playing game, or what do they call that? The time-based combat, or whatever it is?
Yeah, like RTS, real-time strategy.
Like, I mean, even there, you're using swords and spells to try to kill something.
You know, it's gonna happen. I don't think they're gonna, if they stick to that rule, they're really not gonna have much luck or viewers if they try to find a game where, you know, even Smash Brothers, you know, you're fighting one way or another, you're fighting, and that's a very, you know, rated E for everyone game.
And I think they realize that too, because I know that there is a big push because the 2020 games are going to be in Tokyo, and Japan has very strict gambling laws, which is one of the reasons why esports has been kind of slower in Japan than the rest of the world.
Yeah, I was just there. And, they definitely, from what I was told, a lot of the tournaments, they, you know, like here, you pay your $5 toward the tournament because it gets added to the pot. And so at the end of the tournament, top three players get the prize money. Over there, you pay to enter the tournament, and if you win it, you don't get the prize money because essentially it's considered gambling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's the way they have it, but still, like, a lot, you know, the scene isn't as big it's big. Fighting game wise, I think it's huge. You know, that's where a lot of the strong players are at. But you know, it is a little bit slower, I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope our listeners have enjoyed your visit. I know I have. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here.
Sure.
And I really appreciate the fact, because I know you've been under the weather for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you got out of bed today and managed to make
worries.
It over here.
It's all good.
Maybe learning a bit more about your world and your journey has inspired our audience to look into competitive gaming.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will check out your business. That's Worlds Collide Esports Gaming Lounge at 18110 Nordoff Street, Unit C, Northridge, California, 91325. There's also a phone number, 818-678-9712, if you want to call over there and find out about how to reserve a private party or enter a tournament or just come by and play some video games. Once again, thank you.
Sure.
For coming down, Jesus.
Yeah,
that's Jesus Perez, manager at Worlds Collide Esports Gaming Lounge. I'm George Brooks. This has been The Games Afoot, where gaming means business. And until next time, take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening.